would, turn in your Bibles with me to Psalm 124. That's where we're going to be spending our time. And you can look right behind me as well at the words on the screen. So I'm going to read the psalm now. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, then they would have swallowed us alive in their burning anger against us. Then the waters would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept over us. Praise the Lord, who has not let us be ripped apart by their teeth. We've escaped like a bird from the hunter's net. The net is torn, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. This is the word of the Lord. I don't know if you've ever heard this phrase before, but a lot of times people will reference a certain situation and say, no one else could have done that. This was probably the phrase that was going through a lot of people's minds in July of 1969 when two U.S. astronauts managed to land on the surface of the moon and take a walk around. You know, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. A lot of people were probably saying that phrase. No one else could have done that. Only Neil Armstrong could have done that at the time, right? And those moments that were recorded and people watched from their TVs were so significant that we're still talking about them 50 years later, yesterday. A lot of people were celebrating that and rewatching the footage and just kind of in awe that took place. That was one of the unique moments, not just for American history, but for world history, that man could enter into kind of almost another dimension in space. So no one else could have done that, right? If it had been anyone else, this bit of history, as we know it, would have been a lot different, I think. You know, if maybe there weren't American astronauts, but maybe they were Soviet astronauts, or maybe no astronauts at all made it to the moon in the 60s. You know, I think advancements in technology would look really different, and the way we remember history would look really different. And in a similar way, we have instances and circumstances in our own lives that we might look back on and say, no one else could have done that. And maybe for you, it's a family member who made a profound impact on you. Maybe it's a mom or a grandparent or someone like that who really invested in you and took time to teach you and show you how the world works and to teach you about the Lord and the things that he said and commanded. And maybe you look back and think, you know, no one else could have done that, just my mom or just my grandparent or just that friend. Or maybe it was an educator. Maybe it was a teacher, if you like to learn, someone that taught you about a subject that you knew nothing about, but somehow they sparked your interest in it, and you are hooked. You know, maybe it's math. That's not what it is for me, but maybe that is what it is for you, or some other subject. And because of that person, you're interested, you're devoted to learning more about that. And so if any of this resonates with you, and if your heart is kind of brimming full of gratitude when you think of those people and those moments, then the word of God here in Psalm 124 has something to say to you this morning. But what happens when you examine your life at an even deeper level than just thinking about those people? You know, maybe some of you feel hopeless or directionless in your life. Maybe you feel not just in one single moment, but in every moment that you're experiencing hurts that are too deep for words. Maybe there's not a lot to be excited about for you. Maybe instead of saying, no one else could have done that, maybe you often say, no one can do that. No one cares about me. No one loves me. No one wants to take time and invest in me. And no one understands, you know. And so maybe you feel like you've been kind of abandoned and are kind of alone with your worst fears and worst failures. And so if this describes you, the word of God in Psalm 124 has something to say to you too. And so what I hope we all see in the passage today is that we often forget what God has done for us and in us and all around us. But remembering his work of deliverance is really a means for us to have lasting joy. And so if you're taking notes this morning, the theme of the passage, kind of where we're going to land all morning, is because the Lord has delivered us from death, we must remember his work and praise his great name. So because the Lord has delivered us from death, we must remember his work and praise his great name. So to look at this in a little more detail, we're going to see three things in the psalm. So we're going to look at the previous deliverance of the Lord, how he's delivered his people in the past. We're going to look at the present deliverance of the Lord, how he is delivering his people right now. And we're going to look at the future deliverance of the Lord, how he's promised to deliver his people in the future. And so first, the previous deliverance, the past deliverance of God. And really, to kind of summarize this is This is us just thinking about where the Lord has brought us and looking at the psalm and where he's brought the psalmist. And so if you've graduated from high school or even from college, and there are other life events that are similar to this too, but there's at least one moment during the graduation ceremony that everything just seems to stop, and you're just kind of having an out-of-body experience, and you're like, am I really here? Like, I can't believe I'm actually doing this right now. And so maybe as you have that experience, you're thinking of influential people, like we talked about a moment ago, that have helped you along the way, that have kind of gotten you to where you are. Maybe you're thinking of certain like life-changing events that have happened along the way that have made a big impact. And everything just seems to culminate like in that moment where you've kind of arrived at this place and you're reflecting on it and you're grateful for it, especially in terms of education. If you've managed to graduate high school or get a college degree, you know, there's a lot to reflect on and be grateful for there. But it's really not uncommon to ask, how did I get here? You know, when you think about how we start out in school. And so in the psalm, we see in Psalm 124, King David is doing a similar thing. He's having one of those moments right now. He's being very reflective as he writes. And so let's just look at verse 1 here. It says, if the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, then they would have swallowed us alive in their burning anger against us. So this is a really emotional moment of reflection, you know, for him. And if you're a follower of Jesus today, think for a moment about what the Lord's done in your life to draw you to himself, to save you, to show you the gospel and light up your heart with that. So just think about that for a moment. How did you get there? What did he do? Who did he use? What circumstances all culminated in that moment for you to know the Lord? This previous deliverance of the Lord is worth remembering, and I think that's what David is trying to show us here, because he and Israel are kind of a beaten down people in a lot of ways. David spent a lot of his life running from enemies and defeating enemies over and over throughout the Old Testament, especially in places like 2 Samuel. We see how he is working to escape Saul, and he cries out to God for help, and God helps him. And you know, if we see, even from when we're young, we learn the story of David and the Philistines when he defeats Goliath. You know, and so all his life he's overcoming these obstacles of people that are against him, right? And I think a lot of that's culminating here as an older King David is reflecting on these things. You know, if the Lord had not been with me, what would have happened? I would have died. I wouldn't have made it. And so he's really taking a moment and reflecting on that. And so this isn't an arbitrary reflection. He's not thinking about how he's made mistakes in the past, or whether or not he could have done something differently in those circumstances with his enemies. But it's really just to say, whoa, if it had not been for the Lord, I would be dead. I think that's what we see as this psalm opens. And so, depending on your testimony, maybe you think something similar. Maybe that means a physical deliverance from some physical enemy, some person who's after you, someone who's hurt you or wronged you. And maybe you consider today and think, God has delivered me from not just a thing, but a person. And praise God for that, if that's the case. And for others of us, maybe we think of other things in our life that are consuming us and keeping us from the Lord, keeping us from really living the lives that he's designed us to live. And we think, if he hadn't intervened and if he hadn't taken me out of those situations and away from that thing, I just don't know where I would be. And so it's a moment of reflection, but I think it's a necessary reflection. It's helpful for us, I think, especially in a world where we don't slow down a ton, where we don't really like to reflect and stop and think about what's going on. I think it's helpful to read these passages in Scripture and remember that they stopped and reflected often on who God is, on what he's done, and on how that impacts their present reality. And so the imagery here in this passage paints kind of a bleak picture, right? So a lot of what he's saying in the first five verses is a lot like what it would be like if someone threw us in Lake Michigan in the middle of the night in a storm, right? The, the waters would have swallowed us alive. They would have engulfed us. They would have swept over us. They would have utterly swept over us. So you kind of get this picture of just going deeper and deeper down into the water and not making it out alive, right? But notice what he says here. It's the deliverance of the Lord that makes the difference. These things didn't happen, right? He didn't go under the water and never come back. His enemies didn't consume him and defeat him. He says they would have swallowed us alive. The waters would have engulfed us. The torrent of raging water would have swept over us. But none of these things happened. And why? I think the why is important for us to really think about this morning. And that's because the Lord was on the side of his people, and he alone delivered them from their enemies. So this is the case in David's life, but it's also the case in Israel's life. The people of God, over and over, we can see throughout the Bible, just like David, are trying to surmount these obstacles. Like, there are people, there are places geographically, there are things in their way that are trying to defeat them and destroy them. And we see over and over and over God's deliverance and God's provision and God's care for them. And so that's a lot of why it's in this psalm, which we'll talk about a little bit more in a few minutes. But as we read these things, can you relate to the psalmist? Can you relate to David? Can you relate to Israel? What has God brought you out of? If you're a follower of him today, just continue to reflect for a moment. Just think about his work in your life. Remember that. Remember what he's bringing to mind now. And just be filled with joy that you've been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of his beloved son, as Colossians says to us. And so there's this element of the previous deliverance of the Lord, how he has worked in the lives of his people to save them. And there's also this present deliverance that we see in verses 6 through 7. So thanks be to God, you know, his work in our lives is not all done. We're not saved once and then left to figure things out on our own, left to our own devices. God gives us people, he gives us the church to shepherd us, to learn from, and gives us the church for us to learn from each other and support each other. He doesn't leave us where we are. And so the church is a major means of his grace that he uses to deliver us in the present. And so we can see this, you know, in David's own life, as time and time again he's delivered, as we mentioned, and we see this in Israel. But over and over, what I think it's really important for us to see is that he keeps his promises to us. You know, he doesn't just give us this one moment of clarity and joy when we were converted, maybe, if you're a Christian here today, and then leave us. You know, that our life is so much more meaningful than that to him, and he wants us to know him more than that, too. So he's delivering us over and over, day by day, from sins that might surface when we wake up in the morning. You know, maybe as soon as you hit the alarm clock, or even before you hit the alarm clock, there's just a sense of dread about facing the day. And he's with you to deliver you in those moments. And maybe throughout the day, you're tempted to just not love your neighbor, to not love those around you in your home or in your workplace or in your community. God's there to deliver you from those thoughts and bring you to himself, remind you again. And so that's why this idea of reflecting and remembering it is so important, I think, because we lose sight of who we are when we don't reflect and remember. And I think Scripture and the Holy Spirit working through Scripture is really encouraging us to say, you know, stop and remember who you are. If you're in Christ, this is true of you. You know, I've delivered you, and I'm going to keep delivering you. And so I think that's why we see such an outpouring of praise as verse 6 starts. He says, praise the Lord, or some translations say, blessed be the Lord, who has not let us be ripped apart by their teeth. And so here we get a glimpse of someone who really has come face to face with life or death situations, not just spiritually but physically, and he's seen the deliverance of God in a tangible way. And that may be true of some of us today too, but if you are a believer, a follower of Jesus, you've definitely seen this in your life at a spiritual level, right? We've been delivered from not just bad things. The Bible talks about how we've been delivered from death and sin and separation from God. And so that's cause for us to say, just like David, blessed be the Lord, who's not let us be ripped apart by our desires, who's not let us be ripped apart by our mistakes, who's not let us be ripped apart by our introspection sometimes when we can't just seem to get out of our own heads and see the beauty that God has put around us. Especially for those of you who might be depressed, it's hard to see those things, but God's calling out to us to see that and to see that if you're in Him, He's not left you in those situations, that He's not let you be destroyed by them, and He will not let you be destroyed by them in the present. So be encouraged by that today. If you've ever gone to a city pool, which most of us probably have this week, it's been so warm, or if you've been to a public beach this summer, you've probably noticed lifeguards, right? They're everywhere, they're very noticeable. Their job is quite literally to keep people alive each day, from the time they start their shift to the time they finish. And they do this by rescuing people who need their help in deep water, but they also do this by helping people learn and have the tools they need to stay alive in the water, right? So there are a couple of different facets to their job. And this is how serious our battle against sin and our pursuit of holiness is. It's kind of back to this life or death idea. Remembering not just that God has saved us once, but that He's holding on to us now, keeping us day in and day out as we journey through life. And this is critical to remember, because our right remembrance of God is going to keep us focused on the reality of the battle we face against temptation, against sin. And it's also going to keep us focused on the reality of who God is. As Charles Spurgeon says, God has given us to His Son Jesus, and He will never give us to our enemies. Jesus will never let go of us because He's gone to such lengths to secure a people for Himself. And the price was too costly, and the will of God was too definitive for Him to just throw us to the side, especially in our times of deepest need. And so if you struggle with sin today, just remember this is a present reality for those who are in Christ. From verse 7, it says, "We've escaped like a bird from the hunter's net. The net is torn, and we have escaped." And so you kind of see this theme that is found several other places through Scripture, a lot in the New Testament too, about how there's this old self and there's this new self. You know, you were here, but now you're here. You were in the kingdom of darkness, but now you're in the kingdom of light. And this is what we see in this analogy, escaping from the hunter's net. Just imagine a bird that's trapped, and like flailing around, and someone comes and rips open the net so the bird can escape. The bird isn't both trapped and free at the same time. And that's true of those of us who are in Christ today. If you have put your faith in Him, if you are following Him with your heart and you're determined by His Spirit to do what He's called you to do and be who He's called you to be, then sin doesn't define you, right? You might struggle. I struggle with sin as well, but those sins don't define us. They don't make us who we are. They're not our identity. And I see in verse 7, I think we just get a snippet of that, but I think it's important to just take hold of. We're free in Christ. We're not our old selves. We're who He has made us. We're free. Scripture tells us, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And if you've placed faith in Christ, the Spirit of the Lord is in you. And so there's freedom in you. And so freedom and captivity don't exist in the same place. And so I just want us to think about that a little bit this morning as we continue to just reflect. And so I think that's very important as we think about our present state before the Lord. Not just that He has brought us out of sin, not just that He saved us, but that He is keeping us in that salvation now. And we can have confidence and joy. He's provided that way out of sin through Himself. And so we've talked about past deliverance, we've talked about present deliverance, and now I want us to look a little bit at future deliverance from verse 8. He says, "Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." And so the main idea here in this section of the psalm is to just remember that God is faithful to keep you until the end. He's on the side of those who He has saved. Like he's on our side, right? And I think that's an overused expression, like God is on your side, so everything's okay. And I don't think that's what the psalmist is trying to tell us right now. It's not trivial. It's not really a mantra to like charge into life and feel like you can conquer all your battles, but I think it's more knowing that you can't conquer any battles you face on your own, and I can't either. And so the Lord can, right? And the Lord is on our side, and He fights He fights our battles. And the battles that he fights aren't trivial ones. They aren't sporting events that we win, or they aren't maybe degrees that we're pursuing, or relationships that we hope really work out. He's on our side to defeat sin and death and separation from him and secure us and bring us safely to his presence forever. And so that's what it means, I think, that the Lord is on our side. And that's really what David has in mind and what Israel has in mind here. So we've looked at what the psalm has to say about this past and present deliverance, and turning our attention to future deliverance is kind of mind-blowing in a lot of ways. But I think it's so helpful to give us a right understanding of how God interacts with us that are in him. So in 2 Samuel 7, David hears a vision from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And the Lord says this to David through one of David's friends. It says, "The Lord declares to you, the Lord himself will make a house for you. When your time comes and you rest with your fathers, I will rise up after you, your descendant, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. When he does wrong, I will discipline him with a human rod and with blows from others. But my faithful love will never leave him, as I removed it from Saul. I removed it from your way. Your house and kingdom will endure before me forever, and your throne will be established forever." And so when we're thinking about David for a moment, these are the things that he's heard from the Lord. You know, he's seen his deliverance, he's heard of his deliverance, and God is speaking through someone else back in 2 Samuel to tell him, after David offers to build God a temple to worship him, God comes back and says, you know, he doesn't need a temple from you, but I'm going to build a temple from you, David, actually. And so it's going to be an everlasting one. It's going to be one that isn't defeated by enemies, that doesn't falter, and it's going to endure, we see here. And so this God of David here that he's talking about, that he's praising, it doesn't only speak to people, but he also keeps his promises to them, every one of them. And every one of the promises that he makes to us are ultimately, every promise he makes to us as part of his covenant family is true, and we can rest in it. There's a newer hymn that I think really illustrates the future deliverance of the Lord well. And it's been really encouraging to me as I like continue to struggle with sin daily. But it's a weighty reminder, and it's exciting to think about. So I'm just going to read a couple lines from it for us. It says, "Those he saves are his delight. Christ will hold me fast. Precious in his holy sight, he will hold me fast. He'll not let my soul be lost. His promises shall last. Bought by him at such a cost, he will hold me fast." So no doubt you're probably getting the idea of where I got the sermon title from for this morning from. But I say this, I read this to just say that no matter what your fight for holiness involves today, no matter if there are difficult or painful relationships involved, or if there are persistent desires that are just out to devour you, to take away your soul and your joy, or anything else under the sun, just be encouraged by the truth of God's word that he's not only saved those who are in Christ, but he keeps those faithfully to the end. He won't let our soul be lost. And no one else can say that, because no one else has made a way for that to be possible. And so I hope that's really encouraging for us this morning. So Psalm 124 is included in a set of other psalms referred to as the Psalms of Ascent. And what these are, this grouping of them, are songs that Israelites would sing as they made their way up to Jerusalem to celebrate feast days and festivals. And so just kind of get that mental image in your minds of God's people, God's chosen people that he's delivered over history and blessed over and over again, and they've endured many hardships, are on their way to worship him, and they're singing. They're singing these songs of reflection and praise. Just amazing to think about. And this was important. They wanted to remember. They wanted to remember that as they went, as they're going to worship God, even then, even for us, like as we're on our way to church in the morning, it's important for us to remember his deliverance, to remember that He has delivered us if we're in Christ. He is delivering us now as we follow him, and he will deliver us in the future because he's paid the price of his own blood for us. And so that's reason to celebrate and to worship for us today and every day. So if you're a Christian here today, I know I've talked to you a lot. You have a reason to remember, to praise, to celebrate the work of the Lord. And I hope that as you think about how God has worked in your own life, joy would just kind of stir up and spill over as you reflect on those things and what he's done in you and through you because of his love for us. And I also want us to think about the fact that, you know, we as Christians are pilgrims. This isn't our final home. We're heading somewhere else, similar to the Israelites that were singing these psalms on their way to Jerusalem. Our final home isn't here. You know, we're on our way to be where God is, ultimately, with him forever. And so we're going to face hardships. We're going to face difficulties. We're going to face really very real sin as we seek to follow God. There are things that don't just seek to keep us away from God, but just to destroy us altogether. And it's my prayer for you as we look at the word here, as we talk through what God's saying, that you just be encouraged and know that you have someone who's fighting for you and with you in the Lord. And not just anyone, but the Lord who's made heaven and earth, who's promised never to let any of his own go. And so I hope that's a real encouragement and a real source of motivation for you to fight sin in your daily life, to not be so quick to give up as we often are, but that we would fight because he's paid for us and he's promised to keep us, and he always keeps his promises. And if you are not a Christian here today, I'm really glad you're here. Welcome. What we've talked about so far is true of every one of us. It's true of every man and woman, whether we know Jesus personally or not. He's made us to know him. He gives those who call on his name a new identity that is the same no matter what is happening to us, past, present, or future. So it's this maker of heaven and earth who has made you, even if you don't know him yet. He's made you, and he's come to defeat any chaos and any disorder in your life that's caused by sin. Whether it affects your life like a raging storm, a ravenous wolf, or a restrictive hunter's net. Or maybe maybe you don't feel that struggle. Maybe you're happy where you are, not knowing God. That's okay with you. And it's my prayer as we read this word and talk through what God is saying to us here that you'll see that maybe there's someone better who promises us something greater than the things that we surround our lives with apart from him. And so it's my prayer for us today that we are found whole, that we are found by God, and that we are made free in him so that we can all rejoice and we can all say, there's no one else who could have done that. So let me lead us in the Lord's Prayer.